You're listening to the Live Happier Longer podcast,
episode 2.
Welcome to the Live Happier Longer podcast. We're your hosts, Molly Watts
and Angela McDade. We are here to help you build the habits of a happier, longer life.
Starting now.
Stress.
Angela, do you ever get stressed out?
Now and again.
Just now and again?
Yeah, now and again.
Four kids, job, another job.
Mm-hmm.
It happens.
Yeah, all of the stuff can sometimes be a little stressful.
I know. We have 8 kids between us. And I think that some people, you just say that out loud and they're stressed immediately for
yeah.
us.
Yeah. Like, what? 8 kids?
Lots of kids.
Yeah. Lots of feet.
Lots of feet.
And lots of socks.
Ooh, socks.
Yeah. That is our least favorite thing to do, is deal with the socks.
Yeah. I actually just like threw a full garbage bag, huge one, away last weekend full of socks because I was done with it.
Yeah, we have a bin of unpaid, like,
yeah, right.
The odd socks.
Right, you wonder.
And it's like, whoa, I found a buddy. And then you get the buddy socks together and they go happily into the drawer. But there's a lot of sad, lonely, single socks.
Yeah. Well, all kidding aside, stress and even the stress caused by unmatched socks, stress is a real problem for people and a problem in many ways. And physically can cause illness and
like medical problems.
Chronic high blood pressure, heart problems, not to mention just the mental toll it takes on you.
Yeah.
And
your the effect it has on the people around you.
Yeah, and your disposition.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly not a part of living a happier, longer life.
Nope.
And that's why we know a lot of us need help in finding better ways to deal with stress.
Mm-hmm.
So today, I know we're talking to someone fantastic about stress and our daily action number 5, let go. Who is it?
It is Dr. Janet Burkey from Burkey Counseling and Coaching.
Awesome.
And Janet is a clinical counselor, a life coach, and a full-time professor.
Oh, so, she's busy.
Yeah, she is a busy lady. She is married to her husband, John, and they have been married for 34 years, and they have 2 grown children, and she told us that she has just recently added a new puppy to her family, which is her description of Max is that he is lacking in manners and boundaries. So
I wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah.
I have a small horse that lacks boundaries.
Yeah. He's
dog.
Very, very friendly. Very, very, very friendly.
If people understood how much you didn't like dogs, they would get how funny that is.
It's not that I don't like, I just don't have dogs. I like dogs, but
that's a stretch.
But Molly's dogs love me.
Right. Because they sense that you don't. All right.
So, anyway. But so Max is, currently in Janet's life, Max is the cause of her stress right now. And she takes her own advice in dealing with this because she has an audio series. It's called Better Than Counting to 10, Learning to Handle Your Stress in a Healthier Way. Hmm. And she has some fantastic insight in how to deal with this and the best way to get a hold of your stress and be able to move forward and live a healthier life.
Awesome. She sounds like a pro in daily action number 5, let go.
She does. So let's go ahead and without further ado, we will chat with Dr. Janet Burkey.
Hello, Janet.
Hello, Janet.
Hello, Molly and Angela. How are you?
We are both well.
Yes, we're great. And we're so excited to have you on the Living Happier Longer podcast. We are just delighted to get to talk with you today and share some of your great information on how to get rid of stress, because that is an issue for so many of us.
Yeah, and we just introduced you from your bio, and we were laughing about you made your comments about your new puppy. Before we actually go on and chat about how you can help our listeners with daily action number 5, let go. We wondered if you could share us some of the struggles you've had with this new puppy that you weren't necessarily expecting.
Yes, Max. We got Max about 3 months ago, and when we went to pick him up, we knew that he was about 11 weeks old, so we expected this cute little puppy, and when we got him, you know, he could have cut his own meat with a fork and a knife. He was so big at that point. He was about 40 pounds, and within a matter of a couple of months, he grew to about 60 pounds. So a 60-pound puppy with no manners and no boundaries, who is teething and has to be re-potty trained for our home. And yeah, it's been a bit of a stress. No matter how much we love him, it has been a bit of a stress for us.
So what kind of dog is he?
He is a German Shepherd.
Oh, okay, so he was never going to be a little tiny dog. So when you get a puppy, everybody thinks that they're going to get this wee dog that, you know, but this sounds like it's never been that size.
Yeah. And who yeah, in there, right. There's never, don't you love, this is where I get to have fun already, because my Scottish partner, it's a wee dog, you know. Max was never wee, Angela. He's never been wee.
You know, when my husband talks about Max being a wee dog around here, I tell him, no, Max is your dog, not a wee dog.
Yeah, no, I like that use of wee even better.
That's right, yeah.
I think I'm going to use that. My dog's not even, she's 6 and a half, and I want to, yeah, she's not wee in the small way, and she's certainly yeah. not we.
She is her, a giant.
She's somebody else's responsibility.
Right. We do love him, though.
I know. It's hard. It's, you know, that's one of those things. Puppies just are so lovable, but they certainly cause stress.
Yes, they do.
You know, that's, I think, one of the things about stress that I find in my life, and I'm sure that many of our listeners do, is that, you know, we're constantly introducing things that are stressful into our lives. And it isn't until that last, that there's one that comes, and it's kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back. And suddenly I go from dealing with things really well to I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah, and the thing that actually makes you overwhelmed isn't necessarily like a great big event. It's just all the accumulation of all the other things that you hadn't really given a whole lot of attention, and then all of a sudden this final small, maybe a small event is just, that's it, the whole thing comes tumbling down.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, my husband and I were actually talking about this the other day, about how in times of large crisis, we know that we have to hold it together, and we know that we have to buckle down and get through whatever the situation is. So we have that mindset of, let's just get through this and pull all of our strength and all of our resources. And then other things, you know, after we've gone through that, we haven't taken the time to process it and to regulate our bodies as we should, get mm-hmm. grounded, that kind of thing. Then it can take something very, very small, like the dog peeing on the floor, or the dog licking you, or just something almost insignificant to just send us around the bend. So yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I think you touched on something right there, and I know for women, especially women of our age, we're so used to taking care of everyone else, taking care of all the goings on of the family and, you know, maybe our careers and everything else. The last people that we tend to take care of are ourselves. And it seems like we're not really even, I mean, maybe you can help. Maybe there's like, what are some signs that you're becoming overwhelmed with stress? Are there physical signs that actually happen that, you know, you could pay more attention to?
Yes, absolutely. There are so many physical signs that can show us that we are really under too much stress. Maybe we're very prone to anger or irritability. We can ask the question, how is our sleep? And sometimes during mid-age, you know, there's some sleep issues due to hormonal things and that kind of thing going on. But, you know, assuming all of those other things are okay, which really ought to be checked to see how they interface with stress. But, yeah, looking at our sleep, thinking about stomach issues, nausea, heartburn, increased appetite, that kind of thing. All kinds of digestive issues, you know, it can just really wreak havoc on our physical selves.
Right. I think that's, I mean, I know for me, well, I feel like I have the patience of a saint. I have four boys, so I feel like I'm generally speaking, I'm pretty calm. But when I start snapping at people, that is a sign for me that there's probably something else going on.
Right. Yeah. A lot of times the people who are around us don't fully understand the depth of what we're processing. And so we may snap at them and it like comes out of the blue and they're thinking, what did I do? So it's really important for us to share the stress that we're under so that other people understand and can hopefully cut us some slack with that too.
Yeah. And again, that goes back to, you know, things build up and then it's just one thing. And sometimes the poor person that happens to be the straw that breaks a camel's back, they're the one that you're snapping at. So,
right.
And I wanted to say this before, and I guess we should have started. Maybe I should have started there, but we're going backwards now for me. Talk about things that add stress to your life. You decided to not... This wasn't a decision, you going into counseling and making this. This was more of a midlife change, going back to school, getting your bachelor's, your master's, and then eventually your PhD. Those are things, I mean, making that kind of life change is stressful in and of itself.
Yeah, it can be. And I did have the added bonus that we had one of our children out of our home already in college, and then another one was about to graduate too, which now that I think about it, those are also great stressors. But
right.
my point being is I didn't have little people in my home that I had to deal with at that time. But yeah, you know, because you're thinking about life change. Okay, what do I want to do? What is good for this age for me to do? What are my skills, financial resources to pull to put yourself through school? What is going to be the financial gain? There are a lot of things to be considered when you decide to go back to school, and along with the responsibilities that you already have as, you know, as an adult,
sure,
a working adult.
Yeah. And so for you, what was the driving force that made you want to do this, made you want to go back to school and become a counselor?
Wow. I had always wanted to finish my education, and I had taken courses off and on through the years and knew at some point that I would definitely go back. And I had an experience in 2006. The brother that is next to me in age died of a brain tumor. And I remember thinking about his life and how even in his illness, he did every single thing he could to squeeze all of the joy and all of the life out of life. Mm-hmm. And he did the things that he could and that he wanted to do. And I thought, I ethically, morally can do no less. So I need to take the time that I have and do the things I want to do and do the things that I need to do. And so I did decide to go into a coaching program and really enjoyed that. I love the whole process. Coaching's amazing. But one of the things that I found very quickly is that many clients don't understand the difference between coaching and counseling. And the issues were more counseling issues than coaching. So I thought, well, I've got to get some more education. And this was when I was finishing up my bachelor's degree. And so I thought, well, okay, I'd like to get a master's. So I'll go into counseling so that I can deal with the coaching and the counseling issues. Mm-hmm. And then a few years after that, decided it was time to go ahead and get my doctorate. So I went back for my doctorate of counseling.
That's awesome.
That is so impressive.
Yeah, it's not only impressive that, you know, you wanted to keep learning that and being able to be a resource, but, you know, it's not just like you said, it's a financial decision. It's a moral decision as far as wanting to really give back and do everything that you could with, you know, the years that you have. So that's just,
right.
That's great. In your audio series, Better Than Counting to 10, you talk about eustress.
Yeah, eustress is actually a stress that is good for you. Most of the time, we tend to think of stress as just a really ugly thing that is bad for us, that drags us down, and that we don't want to deal with. But eustress can be good. You know, we need to go to work, so we have the stress of getting up and getting dressed and ready to meet the day. And I heard a great quote the other day, somebody saying something about, if you're going to be ready, you need to get ready. So if I'm going to be ready to meet whatever challenges, whether personal or professional challenges are coming to me, then I need to go through the stress to get ready and to get to that point. So that might be an example of eustress.
Yeah.
Stress.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. That's great. Absolutely. So in terms of your, and I just touched on that a little bit briefly, better than counting to 10. That's something that we're going to be sharing in our show notes with all of our, with the listeners, and definitely want to hear a little bit more about that. I know it's a series of audios, messages, and some and worksheets on how we can better manage stress.
Yeah, yeah. And it begins with day one with the life wheel. And the life wheel is exactly what it sounds like. It's a wheel, a circle divided into eight areas of social, environmental, career, important other things, spiritual areas, financial areas, family, physical. And then we have the opportunity to examine all of those areas. And this workbook will help you examine each of those areas so that you can see what's working really well for you that you want to work to strengthen even more, and then what areas that maybe are not working quite so well that you need to invest some more resources into so that, you know, you're much more rounded instead of one area very nice and round and then you have a completely flat area.
Gotcha. And I can't wait for our listeners to hear about that and to explore that a little bit more. And I also know in that series, and we talked about this a little bit before when we've chatted with you earlier about a phrase that you use with Max that has actually come back and works really well when you apply it to stress. And it kind of goes hand in hand, or it's much like our let go, but you say what?
Leave it.
Leave it.
Leave it. This is one that our dog trainer taught us. And let me just say that if you're thinking about putting out the money for dog training, it's well worth it. But we have this dog trainer who helps us, and it's almost like a dance watching her and Max work together. But this one particular night, she said, now next week we will take him out into the store because he needs to learn to be around people in public and learn to obey you. So we took him out into the store, and he was on his leash. And of course, you meet other dogs, and you have to have that little standoff dance there, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But as she walked, and he would get distracted by the sights and the smells of all kinds of things, she would just keep on walking, and she would simply say, "Leave it." No emotion in her voice. It wasn't unkind. It was just firm and gentle. Leave it. And we kept on walking. And I thought, what a great life lesson. And I began using this in helping my own clients that when we get distracted by things other people are doing that really don't affect us or don't affect us or probably shouldn't affect us to the degree that we sometimes let them, just mentally say, leave it and move on. Just keep on walking. And I have had clients report back that has been such an insightful thing to them and just very helpful through the week that not everything deserves the depth of the attention that we give it. So we can just say, leave it and keep on going.
Yeah, that's really great advice, which means you can, you know, the things that do worry you, you can actually prioritize them and then, you know, set up a designated time where you go, you know, that just, I can't deal with that right now. And you put it aside and then you can, you know, you can actually take the time out when you have the mindset and the time to do it and then actually deal with it. So that's truly, that is really great advice.
Yeah, and there actually are folks who promote the idea that we can, if we've got something that's on our mind right now and it's interfering with our thoughts and we don't have to take care of it this very minute, that we can set aside an appointment, mark it for 15, 30 minutes on your calendar and say, I will deal with this issue at that time. But until then, it does not get any more of me or any more of my emotional or mental energy.
That's awesome. And I think, you know, we've talked a little bit with you about our Five for Life planner. And, you know, we have every day we have time set aside in both the morning, morning meditation and evening reflection for putting together both letting go of or leaving stress and also being grateful, which we think go hand in hand. I don't think it's very hard to develop an attitude of appreciation and gratitude if you can't let go of the stress.
Yeah, of all the things that bother you. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and again, there's some things that we can't let go forever, but we can let go for this minute while we're dealing with other things that we have to take care of.
Mm-hmm. We touched on some of the physical, like the immediate symptoms of stress and what it looks like and how you might be feeling. But there's some really dangerous diseases and problems that you can develop if you don't take care of your stress.
Right. Yeah, there absolutely are. We've, you know, we talk about things like high blood pressure and that kind of thing. We talk about even diabetes, how it impacts that. But the truth is that, you know, high levels of chronic stress can affect folks who have asthma. It increases that. If you have certain autoimmune disorders, in fact, I would say probably many of them, I'm not a doctor, but what I know about autoimmune, I'm assuming that it probably impacts just about all of them very negatively and can increase chronic pain. It can affect us as far as reproduction and fertility issues go. And a lot of people don't think about that kind of thing, but even mouth ulcers, losing your hair, insomnia, you know, just many things. Losing a night or two of sleep is one thing, but these other issues that affect our organs and our neurological system, that's a whole other level. And what I would say in addition to that is the fact that we need to remember stress is not a cause. Stress is a symptom. So what is the cause that is going on that we are reacting to and causing us stress, which in turn is affecting us in every area of our lives?
And unfortunately, sometimes I think what happens, and this is one of the negative outcomes of stress, if we're not dealing with it beyond just disease, is people try to mask it with alcohol or drugs in some way to alleviate how they're feeling.
Yeah, it's almost like a self-medication. It's something, almost a way to deal with it or to not deal with it, moreover. And it's a quick and easy way to remove yourself from what is really bothering you, but it doesn't actually help with the situation. It just removes you from it for a short period of time.
Yeah, because when the buzz or the mellowness or the drunken stupor, you know, whatever degree folks get to with that, the issues still remain. The core issues are still there that have to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say in terms of, I know in, again, you talk a little bit about this in Better Than Counting to 10, or you talk more about this, I should say, is what can you do? What's one thing you can do today to help you, you know, deal with your stress?
I love, and I'm going to go back to you ladies, honestly, in many ways on this. I love the idea of sitting down and thinking about, what am I grateful for? Your gratitude piece at the end of the day. What has been good for me today? What has worked? And some days it may be, you know, that we got up and we kept the people in our home alive, you know.
Yeah.
There wasn't any major crisis going on. You know, sometimes it's as simple as I got out of bed, I got dressed, I went to work, and there you go. And that's okay. You wouldn't want that to be your only piece of gratitude for many days on end. But, you know, some days are just like that. But very often when we do begin looking around and thinking, I have a home, I have a vehicle that got me to work, I have a job, maybe it's not what I want, maybe it's not paying what I want, but hey, I have a job, and a lot of people don't have a job. And it, you know, that can sound simplistic, but when we think about how, I'm going to use the word blessed, how blessed we are in our everyday lives, even with the little things that most of us take for granted, we can begin getting our mind off of our stress. Now, that doesn't diminish those other issues. It doesn't take them away, but it does give us a little bit of breathing room to also recognize that along with the really tough crisis, the really hard things, the things that we're walking through that we don't want to do, we still have so very, very much to be grateful for.
Yeah, it's almost like if you start thinking about those small things, it is a kickstarter to trying to figure out those bigger issues. And really, it doesn't, as you said, it doesn't diminish the other issues, but it's, things could be so much worse. So you have to be grateful for what you do have and then move forward.
And yeah, absolutely.
So you know that our message is really all about aging with optimism. And our listeners are like us. They're women of midlife that have a shared set of challenges in terms of whether it's empty nesters and menopause, things of that nature, or just being in midlife. So one of the reasons we wanted you on the show so badly or on the podcast is that you just have a great optimistic attitude, and you can hear it in your voice. You hear it in your, you know, in everything that you talk about. And, you know, when you get up in the morning, what makes you, you know, what makes you, you just talked a little bit about gratitude, and I'm sure that plays a big part of it. You know, how do you look forward to the rest of your life? What inspires you? What gets you out of bed? What makes you go, this is going to be a great day?
Yeah, well, and that's a little bit harder because I'm not a morning person. So.
Okay, unfair. Well.
Oh, great. The sun came out again today. I've got to get up. Now, I don't enjoy getting up, but I do enjoy life. I'll be real honest. And I'm always thinking, what else can I do? What's the next project? And unfortunately, that can also bring more stress to me because I get overwhelmed with so many of the things, you know, that I've brought on myself. So I have to be careful with that. But just thinking, what else can I do? Looking at the resources that I have, the life I live, you know, I'm not going to set a goal to run for president or, you know, do those things. But what are some reachable things that I can do that bring fun and creativity into my life and the things that I want to do? Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. And I think, you know, I feel this way. I look and I go, oh, wow, I guess I am in midlife. You know, I am middle-aged. I didn't know when that happened, but you know, now it's the time I look forward and I go, okay, I got to make the best of this. You know, I got to make the best of it now.
Yeah. And it's funny, you know, midlife for us now in this generation compared to our grandparents when we were kids is so much different. As a 40, 50, 60 year old, our grandparents were that age and they were old. Whereas we now, you know, once you're hitting your 50s and 60s, a lot of people are seeing it as an opportunity to find something new or do something new that really, you know, because people are living so much longer now than they did generations ago. And it's just, there's so many opportunities out there that really we have to, it's a matter of just going out and finding what fits your groove and, you know, what you want to do, what you're interested in, and just finding it and go and do it.
Yeah. And whether it brings stress into your life or not, I think you'd agree that it's entirely worth it, you know, to do something that challenges you and to do something that really does make you want to, well, eventually get out of bed every day.
Makes you glad you did get out of bed.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, I'm going to let you tell us this last part of your Better Than Counting to 10. And then, like I said, we will be linking it in our show notes. I want you to give us the website URL as well. But talk to me about improve. It's not about being perfect. It's about getting better, right? And so every step. But tell me your 7 words for improve.
So that word improve is not original with me, but it is a technique for folks to be able to just kind of calm down and to be able to re-regulate and to approach things again. So the first thing, and this is all in the workbook of Better Than Counting to 10, and it is the word imagine. And sometimes when we're going through a really tough thing, we think, how are we going to get through this? I don't know what I'm going to do. And then to stop and realize, the truth is, you've probably been through harder things than this, and you've made it through. Maybe not unscathed, maybe with some scabs and some scars, but you made it through, and you're going to make it through this time. And then finding some meaning, M for meaning. And so trying to find some meaning in whatever you're going through, even if it's to help you understand other folks and what they're going through better. Mm-hmm. The third one is prayer, and folks have different approaches to that. So they can go through that piece as they have their own outlook. But then R is for relaxation, and that is some self-care, figuring out what is self-care for you. And we tend to think of a big bowl of ice cream in front of the television as self-care, but probably not. It's probably something a little more active, getting out for a walk, going for coffee with a friend. In fact, I met a friend for coffee this morning, and we were talking about how much fun it was just to escape for an hour or so and just visit. You know, we do everything digitally or virtually now, but just to have some face-to-face conversation. And then one thing in the moment. We have so many stressors from the time we get out of bed till the time we go back to bed. And then, you know, just dealing with one thing, whatever that is. I can't handle everything at one time, but I can handle one thing. And as an aside, the myth of multitasking is a myth. Some people are just better at jumping from task to task, but they don't truly multitask as well as we think we do. And then to take a vacation. So, you know, we can't all just hop a plane to go wherever we want to go, but we can take maybe a few hours out of our day to go do something else or to take a mental vacation, even thinking about times that have been really great and meaningful for us. Just take some time out to breathe. And then, of course, the last one is E, and the word improve for encouragement, and to be our own cheerleader. You know, even if it's as simple as, yay, I didn't bring dinner tonight. you know, woohoo! Some days that's all we can ask for when we are totally stressed out. But, you know, just give yourself a pat on the back for what you did well today.
Yeah, no, and all of those things, you know, they work so well with what we are trying to promote with our 5 daily actions. What you just said kind of touches on them all, you know, getting out and moving around, going for a walk, that is action move. And then just spending time with someone. Again, we are, as you said, we're so busy all the time. Actually taking some time out to chat and meet up with someone and just have that little time out where you're just visiting and catching up, and that covers daily action share. And just meeting friends and taking a time out is sometimes just all we need to relieve the day, you know. And that falls into that vacation time where, you know, you don't always have to physically leave personally, but that mental break, which falls into our let go. And all of them can be covered by giving thanks, you know, one way or another. It's always good, right, just to appreciate what you have.
Yeah, nice way to tie it all together. Absolutely.
Yeah. All this great information that we're sharing from you today is a great way to our daily action number two, which is learn. And that's really what this, our podcast is focused on, is sharing information so that people can learn about things that they need to learn about. And certainly dealing with stress is something that all of us need to understand how to do better. And hopefully today we've talked about why it's important physically and mentally. And we want to really encourage everyone listening to visit your website. So could you please give us that URL?
Absolutely. That is Berkey Counseling and Coaching. And it's B-I-R-K-E-Y. And you can Google counselingandcoaching.com, BerkeyCounselingandCoaching.com.
Awesome. And if they go there, they're going to be able to find a link to, and like I said, we're going to put it in our show notes, a link to it too, but they'll be able to sign up and get your free, right? It's completely free.
Yes, absolutely.
The 5-day audio series, Better Than Counting to 10.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yes. Well, that is absolutely fantastic. And we so appreciate you taking time out with us today and to share this great information and your great example of being somebody that is aging with optimism and is a great resource for our listeners.
Thank you. It was so much my honor to be able to do this.
Yes, thank you so much. And hopefully everything that we've discussed today will help people to live a happier, longer life.
Thanks for listening to the Live Happier Longer podcast.
Now it's time to move,
learn,
share,
give,
and let go. 5 daily actions to make the rest of your life the best of your life. See you next week.